He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Let's smash this party up.
From Fast and Furious 7. Remember we covered the tragic death of Paul Walker in that Porsche he was racing in Central California? They somehow managed through the use of his brothers, I guess, as stand-ins. He has two brothers about the same age as he was when he died. And computer tricks, they managed to, even though he'd only finished half of his expected scenes, they managed to make a movie, and I'm sure it's going to be the biggest, of the year so far, at least. Fast and Furious 7 will play some of its music. I guess you need the car crashes there to really get the impact. I'm not feeling it, but I guess I will. Good morning, everybody. Put up or shut up. That's my first thought today at 7 minutes after 10 o'clock here on 77 WABC. Unless media outlets, which bought that apparently horrifying video we've been hearing about of the doomed Germanwings plane at the moment of impact, unless they allow independent analysts to verify that supposed video soon, I mean like today, verify that it is genuine, then ladies and gentlemen, even though you saw extensive reporting on it on CNN and elsewhere, you have to conclude that the whole notion of the video is a hoax, a gross April Fool fake. I really believe that. I just cannot I can't imagine that somebody going through that wreckage there would have found a card from a video phone and then put it in their pockets and then sold it to a magazine. It's something that creeps me out. I don't think it ever happened. I don't think the video is real. And if I am, I'll eat crow. But I if I'm wrong, I'll eat crow. I just do not believe it. I think it's a total fake. I also think that a lot of the rage that the GOP has shown toward, the potential erosion of religious freedoms with laws that allow gay people the same kind of protection as a class, as racial and religious minorities. I think that that is over also. I think Jeb Bush, he changed his mind. In today's world, gays are as much a protected class, ladies and gentlemen, as any racial or religious minority. You really have to get over it. Your freedom cannot be used as an excuse to discriminate against gay people. Woe unto the politician who tries that. Indiana just this morning announcing they have an amendment to their very controversial bill, an amendment that prohibits the baker that we were talking about yesterday on yesterday's show, or the florist, prohibits service providers from using the law as a legal defense. They have to provide the services. They have to provide the goods, the facilities, the accommodations. You cannot discriminate based on race, color, religion, ancestry, age, national origin, disability, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or U.S. military service. You can no longer do that. I mean, Indiana now, where, they got all of this heat. They backed down. They are now passing this amendment, changing their law, totally gutting it. So the florist, the baker, you have to provide those services. The church, on the other hand, and church schools, though, they are exempted from this. So if you're a church and you don't want, to hold a gay wedding, you don't have to. But if you're a baker or a florist, you've got to serve the gay customer in the same way you say serve the straight customer. So I think you're going to see that retreat everywhere. The GOP has to get out of the bedrooms of America unless you want Hillary to be the next president. But I want to start this morning in a more thorough way with the corruption charges against Senator Menendez. I mentioned yesterday in passing, I want really to stress that, with my own personal experience now watching from the inside watching the torture of Congressman, Staten Island Congressman Michael Grimm by the feds, and obviously living in a more intimate way with former correction and police commissioner Bernard Carrick, and seeing what the feds did to him. The corruption charges, now having read the 68-page indictment, this 8-count federal indictment against Senator Menendez, I'll tell you folks, straight out, the indictment is so broad, the applicable penalties, 15 years behind bars, hard time in federal prison, they are so severe that I think the total vindication of Senator Menendez now is nearly impossible. Impossible. My bottom line at 11 minutes after 10 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey will make a plea deal. He will resign, I predict, and he will accept some prison time. I think that is almost inevitable, that Menendez is going down despite his defiance, despite Noam, as you've been reporting, he brought a cheering squad to his defiant press conference, so it was kind of weird. But I really do believe that you are seeing the end of his career. I think it has nothing to do with his skepticism over an Iran nuclear deal. It has to do with the public integrity section of the Justice Department concluding almost reluctantly that they had to pursue this investigation. And now they have indicted him, and I'm telling you, he is history. So who's on the line here? We got Arthur Idala, one of the great young attorneys in the United States. How are you, Arthur? Hello, Arthur, right. You there?
I'm here.
Okay, buddy, he has studied at the knee of one of the great attorneys in the 20th and 21st century, Professor Alan Dershowitz, also here. Welcome, Professor.
Thank you. I'm often confused with Arthur Idala. We're both, so good looking.
You are. You both have similar hairdos.
We're never confused with you, that's for sure.
All right, Professor, you get seniority. I've just predicted that Senator Menendez, because this is typical, this indictment, having read the 8-count, 68-page indictment, typical of the public integrity section of the Justice Department. It's so broad, the penalty so severe, vindication nearly impossible, a plea deal, resignation, some prison time, inevitable, says Geraldo. What says Professor Alan Dershowitz?
That respectfully disagree. I think he will be acquitted of the major charges here, that is, of taking gifts in exchange for favors. I think he has a harder time on the non-reporting of the gifts, but that isn't nearly as serious. So my prediction is that he will be acquitted of the major charge, and I'll explain why. He has a 20-year friendship with this guy, and the government is going to have to prove that he did what he did, for example, getting visas for this guy's girlfriends, not because they're friends, but specifically in exchange, as part of an agreement, in exchange for the flights that he took, the hotel rooms that he got, the PAC contributions that he got. It's going to be very hard for the government to prove the specific exchange that's required by the statute. So I think this is going to go the way of Mike Espy, John Edwards, Ted Stevens, Tom DeLay, and ultimately Rick Perry. These are prosecutions of our system. We don't like the system. The system sucks. But that's the system. The system is that bundlers and large contributors expect to get access in exchange for gifts and contributions, and that's what they get. And the government, in order to prevail, has to prove specifically, I will give you this gift in exchange for you doing this specifically for me. They did it in the case of Senator Williams 20 or 30 years ago. It's going to be hard to do it in this case.
All right, but note for the record that Professor Dershowitz says he will be acquitted on the most serious charges, but he admits, Arthur Idala, that the non-reporting and other serious enough charges, what do you think about the future, the political future, as you ponder the legal future of Senator Bob Menendez?
Well, I guess I kind of agree with both of you in a way. I agree everything that Alan said, and he's so right when he talks about it being the system not the individual, but Araldo, in terms of reality, when you're looking at a man, I believe he's in his 60s, and he ultimately, I know he's a fighter right now, but 6 months, 9 months from now, when he's sitting in a room with his attorneys and say, listen, we could cut a deal where we almost guarantee you no jail time. You just have to say, okay, I shouldn't have received all of these gifts, or I should have disclosed them. And you know you're guaranteed more or less that you're not going to be behind bars. That's when a human being and their survivalist instinct kicks in. But I hate this indictment, Geraldo. I think it's horrible. I think it's disgusting. And I think what it's doing, it's promoting people to go into politics who are really people with no friends, people with no loyalty. I mean, Geraldo, you have an island. If you said to me, hey, Arthur, and I'm a city councilman, could you do me a favor? Can you help me out with X, Y, and Z? And for Passover, come down to my island in Puerto Rico.
Oh, and by the way, come down to my island in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. Professor Dershowitz, having seen it with Grimm, having seen it even more profoundly and personally with Carrick, what happens is 8 months down the line, that scenario that Arthur just drew, Menendez has now mortgaged his house to play for his lawyer. He's exhausted all his available cash. He is still confronting the monolithic power of the amply resourced federal government.
You're right.
You cop the plea.
No, fortunately, he has one of the great lawyers in America, other than the three of us here talking. He has Abby Lowell, who is a phenomenal lawyer in Washington, D.C., also knows this system very well. He was Edwards' lawyer. I mean, if we were having this conversation about former presidential candidate John Edwards, probably we would have said he was going to cop a plea, too. In the end, Abby Lowell took the case to trial, and Edwards was acquitted, not vindicated, but acquitted. And I know Abby Lowell, and I think he's going to fight to the end. You never know, of course, whether a plea will be offered, whether one will be accepted. I'm not even sure they would offer no jail time. This indictment is so extensive and so multifaceted, it's going to be a little hard for the government to back away from
it. And Alan's right about that, Geraldo. He's right. From you guys there, I lose you.
Go ahead. We're here, Alan.
Oh, okay. He's right. Alan is correct. They have actually, the depth of this indictment, they've kind of backed themselves into a corner where the guideline range on any of these crimes, what he's facing is so high that it's hard for them to give him a deal that's so palatable, unlike Grimm. With Grimm, as you know, as you'd love to say, the charges were kind of BS. So they were able to give him a deal that was palatable enough for him to take. Here, the government may have created a situation where they cannot do that.
I don't see how Abby Lowell how does he beat the non-reporting, Alan?
Well, I haven't spoken to him about that, obviously, but I think the main charges, I think when you overcharge and the jury says, you know, this guy is being indicted for being a good friend, helping a guy get his girlfriends coming into America on visas, and
how about not declaring as income these free trips?
Yeah, well, you know, Arthur, you're coming to my house for a Seder. It's very valuable to come to my house for a Seder. Are you going to declare that as your income?
I mean, Geraldo, really, give me a break. I mean, this is the kind of case in a state court.
I don't like the case. I'm just giving you the reality that I may be pondering a run for the United States Senate from New Jersey after all.
Ah, now we know what's really going on. Now you've made me switch sizes. We can get you in the United States Senate. My God, I'm prepared to do almost anything.
You think I would unleash this federal monster on my own background? No way.
Geraldo, you'll be running against Joe Piscopo.
I'll be what a race that'll be. I love you both. Alan Dershowitz and Arthur Idala. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
26 minutes after 10 o'clock. Now, what is the lighted up in blue? What is that?
You know how they lighted up pink? People wear pink ribbons for breast cancer awareness month.
Right.
This is the same idea, except it's for National Autism Day. Around the world, they're celebrating this, commemorating it, highlighting the people who suffer from autism, kids, adults alike. And so lots of institutions across the city are going to light up blue tonight. You'll see it across the skyline.
Great idea. I love it. And I love to see the Empire State Building as it adopts these various colors for the various causes. But this is certainly definitely a needed one. World Autism Awareness Day today, Thursday, April April 2nd. So, I didn't want this James to hold on too long. Hey, James, what's up? Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Araldo. How are you?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Yesterday you said that you didn't want to be known as a hypocrite, and you were very critical of Iran, of Israel spying on the talks that are going on in Switzerland. But I think you seem to forget that President Obama learned from the New York Times that he was spying on Angela Merkel.
Oh, right. The National Security Agency was spying on world leaders, including Angela Merkel. That's true. That is absolutely true. The difference, I don't know. But I appreciate it. I think it's apples and oranges there. I don't think it was the president was spying on Angela. I doubt it, although he certainly was embarrassed by it. And, Israel's a separate country. If they spy on our stuff, look at Jonathan Pollard, the Israeli security guy, a sailor, right? Wasn't he a sailor, or he was spying on the Navy, something? He's still in jail 15 years later. I think that's excessive. The guy should definitely be out. I don't want to get off on that, though. Here is something very interesting about, I want to go back to Indiana for a second. And this morning, Indiana legislators totally reversed themselves on this whole, essentially, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act has been totally gutted now in Indiana. They are offering this amendment today. They had to by the end of the week. You have the Final Four in Indianapolis. The NCAA, I didn't know Nome was actually based, actually based in Indianapolis. They could not sustain that kind of pressure. Just as Walmart changed Arkansas's mind, I think the NCAA and related businesses changed Indiana's mind. They have totally backed off now. A church can refuse to a service based on religious grounds. A private individual cannot. But here is what's interesting. You know, Governor Chris Christie, no friend of this show, but a guy who up until his Bridgegate problems was a very appealing, rambunctious, independent, strong, working class hero in many ways, and a formidable candidate for president, a man who crossed party lines in New Jersey to win the governorship, not once but twice. But what Christie said about gay marriage is, let the voters of New Jersey decide gay marriage. But court after court, rather than the people have lagged behind in terms of giving gays equal rights, but the courts have now broadened the constitutional basis. The Supreme Court, I expect, will follow. But just as the states, the courts have been ahead of the people, there's a new poll out that says most Americans, guess what? Most Americans support allowing businesses to refuse wedding-related services to same-sex couples on religious grounds. 57% support it. 39% say it should not be allowed. But again, here, Indiana has caved, but I guess most Indianans probably favor the law.
On the air, online, and on iHeart.com, we are 77 WABC.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
36 minutes after 10 o'clock, 866 Geraldo. What's on your mind, John, in Oyster Bay? What are you thinking about today? Thanks for calling.
Geraldo, you really hit a nerve there.
Uh-oh. I like the sound of that.
I couldn't believe my ears. The courts are ahead of the people. The people are backwards, so the courts should be making...
I didn't say the people are backwards. They just say the courts are ahead of them.
Yeah, they were ahead of the people on segregation and slavery at one time, too.
I think that's probably correct.
But you know, this is a bogus issue, Geraldo.
How so? Why is it bogus?
Look, a gay person walks into your business, they have or a black person or anybody has every right to be treated with respect.
Exactly.
And served equally. But you're talking about forcing people to endorse or condone behavior now. That people find moral reprehensible. I'm sorry, I don't care what a court says or even what legislation. And by the way, the legislation is on every our idiot governor, well, I shouldn't say that, he's a hypocrite. And the governor of Connecticut, their laws, they have the same laws on the books as Indiana. So Wollaston, now Indiana is the victim.
It wasn't the same. The laws aren't the same. I mean, you got to be factually correct. I appreciate your passion.
All right, how are they?
You've got to be, because they didn't allow to your religion to be used as an affirmative defense the way Indiana did. I mean, it wasn't in the federal law.
It's not a matter of,
I mean, if I go to your store, I'm gay, I want a wedding cake, you say no. In Indiana, under the law, until they just changed it, you could use your religious freedom as a defense to my lawsuit against you for denying me services. Now, you can't use the law. Right or wrong, that's the fact. You can't use it anymore.
The burden of proof is still in court. It's still on the person in court. And whether it's religion...
Look what happened to the pizza person anyway. It's not going to come to that. The pizza guy said they never serve... thanks, John. Never serve a gay person, a gay wedding. They said they'd never serve pizzas. And they got so much hate mail.
But they've also raised...
Inundated.
On a GoFundMe site that was set up for them, they've raised $40,000 as of this morning for the pizza place. So you have people on both sides who are sort of saying, hey, you know, we'll respect the fact that you want rights and deserve rights. But at the same time, I think what they're saying is we want to be respected for our point of view as well.
I think that, you know, I appreciate,
like,
I appreciate the sincerity of your reporting. I just think that it's entirely unrealistic. I do not believe, as the pizza shop experience indicates very clearly, I do not believe that in this day and age, you can say that you refuse to serve a gay or a gay wedding any more than you could say I refuse to serve a black or a black wedding. You can't say
I don't disagree with you. I just disagree with the way people are going at this pizza place. It seems so vicious to put them out of business. That's not the way to respond. The way to respond is to educate them, not to say, hey, we're going to throw your business down. We're going to set it on fire. There's been threats against them.
I'll be even more provocative. I don't look when you look at Elton John and Dolce and Gabbana. Remember Dolce and Gabbana, the two owners of that very high style fashion house. Dolce and Gabbana, they said, and they're gay, and they said they don't believe in gay families. The whole IVF, the in vitro, like you get a surrogate, you get one of the gay couple's sperm is donated, you get a surrogate, they have a baby. Dolce and Gabbana said we're not in favor of that. That's these IVF families are fake. That's Dolce and Gabbana said that. Elton John and he got his buddies in the gay community together and they wanted to boycott or they have started a boycott of Dolce & Gabbana. You cannot deviate from the politically correct position when it comes to gays anymore. It is so scary to take on the gay mafia that you can't do that anymore. But that, I submit, is a separate issue from what is emerging as very clear now, and I think that Indiana copped out because of that political pressure. But there is also this movement in the courts to develop a constitutional right, which I think is overdue. It is breathtaking in the fact that it has happened so fast. But it is, I think, sex preference and gayness is as much a constitutional right. Well, we'll soon, I think the Supreme Court found to be as much a constitutional right as race, color, creed, or religion. I really believe that it's over now, that gays have absolutely every right under the Constitution. The courts are finding at the state level and soon at the federal and ultimate the Supreme Court level that it will be gender discrimination or sexual preference discrimination will be as prevalent and as accepted as any other right.
I don't disagree with you. I think you're absolutely on point there. But what I'm saying is I'm trying to understand the other point of view from the people who are religious and see this as a biblical thing. And I don't necessarily think they want to be hostile to the gay community. But from their point of view, they don't think it's right because in the Bible or whatever it is. And you can't then just mock that and laugh at that. And they want representation. And I think that's what this bill is all about. I don't necessarily agree with it. But I understand where they're coming from.
I neither mock it nor ridicule it. I just think that the ship has sailed. And I think
it hasn't. I mean, in Indiana, look at that poll you just gave us. The ship hasn't sailed.
But my point is, look at Indiana. It's exactly right. You look at Indiana. So Indiana, the poll says most people, I mean, a pretty good majority, 57 to 39, 57% of the people say businesses should have the right. But the legislature anyway copped. They said, okay, we're not going to try to give the religious freedom side of this equation any rights. Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush is the most powerful candidate in the Republican field. He shocked me over the weekend when he said, I support religious freedom. Monday night, he changes his mind. Jeb Bush flip-flops. I'm a Jeb Bush guy. Jeb Bush flip-flop on this issue. Why did Jeb Bush flip-flop? It wasn't because he suddenly in his mind and his heart of hearts said, I was wrong and gay people should not be discriminated against, even if this is just theoretical. He changed his mind. He said, okay, your religious freedom cannot be used to discriminate against gays. That has to be, that will soon be the only acceptable position in this country, I submit.
Yeah, I, you know, I think also has been interesting about the story is whenever we talk about this, we talk about Christians being upset about this. But you know what? There's Orthodox Jews that feel this way. There are Muslims that feel this
way. I agree.
It goes across. You're not talking about tens of thousands of people. You're talking about millions of people across this country.
I agree that millions of people believe that their religious freedom is now at risk because of this movement, the movement to the gay civil rights movement. There are millions of conservative religious people, Muslim, Jewish, Christian, who believe that their freedoms are will now be infringed by their, their liability now if they refuse to serve this population, the gay population. Too bad. Too bad. You know why too bad? Because look again at race. And I'm not equating gay rights with racial rights in some cosmic sense. But from a legal constitutional point, the United States, like the rest of the world, will soon have to, or the Western world anyway, will soon have to deal with the fact that, like it or not, just like people in the South, like it or not, you have to give black people and brown people the right to use the same water faucet as white people. They didn't like it. You have to seat them in the front of the bus. They didn't like that. You have to allow them in the same schools. They didn't like that. What I'm saying to you is we are witnessing a historic watershed where you may not like it. And the millions of people, righteous, honest, law-abiding, sincere people who believe that this is offensive to them, too bad. Too bad. Because now it is a constitutional right or will soon be, I think, made legal by the Supreme Court of the United States. And state by state is now recognizing it. It is going to be on a par with race, color, creed, religion, sexual preference. It's going, like it or not, it may irk you. It may want you to, you know, have these sinners turn to ashes. I don't know, whatever your religion is, turn into a tornado windstorm or something. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Get over it. Get used to it. The ship has sailed. The gay person comes into your bakery, he wants a cake, you better make a cake, or you got to close your business. I mean, that's just the way you may not like. It's not a church. Now, the gay guys can't go to the St. Patrick's and say, you have to marry us or we'll sue you, because I think religious institutions will continue to be allowed to be religious. But if you're in private business, forget it. It's over. You got to serve them. Indiana's cop-out is clear. No state can sustain the reaction of the business on Apple and Walmart and, you know, name them. Every big business, the United States Chamber of Commerce, everybody now says, it's over, dudes. We got to give up the fight. You may in your heart of heart have to hold your nose. Well, maybe you'll be rude to them in a way that's non-actionable. Maybe you'll make clear that you want them to go to the baker across the street or down the over in the other neighborhood. Maybe you can beat a lawsuit that way, but you are at peril now. You serve them at your or risk a lot. It's over. 47 minutes after, we're not over. 866 Geraldo. We'll be right back.
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
My Bentley's back in the shop.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, I'm getting the Continental. The Continental looks just like the Bentley.
It's a sweet-looking car.
U.S. made. I have a Ford Escape in Puerto Rico. I love it. They make great cars, easier to service, a lot less expensive, and it looks just as good.
And if you're going to run for office, you got to have an American-made car. You can't have a Bentley.
I want to get to the calls, and I really, ladies and gentlemen, I really appreciate it. And the whole second hour is going to be all about you. But you mentioned how people of faith, it's not just the evangelical community who opposes. There are plenty of rabbis and mullahs in the church, in the Muslim faith. It reminded me of something that I really, particularly with all my experience in the Middle East and South Asia and North Africa and all the rest of that, I think that the Orthodox Jews and the Orthodox Muslims, they have a lot in common, I believe. I mean, I think that, I don't know for a fact, I don't know the historical, I'm kind of talking off the top of my head. It was just something that occurred to me as you were speaking. The way women are often treated, or, you know, where they stand in terms of the hierarchy of the family structure, in terms of children, some of the rules they impose, the proliferation or I don't want to get myself in too much trouble here, but I just think that if the orthodox types of all these faiths got together, maybe they'd find some common ground.
Well, it's interesting you say that. There's a program up in the Bronx that does exactly that. A mosque and a couple Orthodox synagogues in the Bronx bring the kids together to do programs together so they understand one another. And guess what? Yeah, they find out they have a lot in common.
A lot in common. I'm not sure that what they have in common is something that particularly appeals to my sensibilities. But if anything can reduce tensions between the groups, I would be all in favor of it. Okay, now I'll take a couple of calls right now, but as I mentioned, after the news break at the top of the hour, it's going to be all about you. And to give you a heads up, in the second hour, in the second half hour of the second hour, we're going to have Bill O'Reilly, my Fox News colleague and friend, will be here. He has scored an amazing coup yet again. I mean, the guy, everything he touches turns into a bestseller. His movie on Jesus, Killing Jesus, broke all the records for the Nat Geo channel, and they're rerunning it on this holy weekend on Fox News. I'm sure it's going to do gangbusters there as well. We're talking mostly about Indiana, but also with a hefty bit of attention being paid to the senior senator from New Jersey, Bob Menendez, who I believe is going down. I believe that despite all his bluster, that ultimately the feds will just wear him out. I don't think it's like some of these financial crimes where there's a technical defense. I believe that, with all of the counts in this 8 counts, 68-page indictment, so broad, the penalty so severe that he'll cop a plea and resign from office. That's just me. But what does Matt think? Let me get my button working here. What does Matt in New Jersey think? Hey, Matt, what's up?
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for calling.
I'd like to make a comment about Bob Menendez and the Indiana situation. Our Senator Menendez, I usually don't agree with him, but I can't help but wonder, he's been a vocal opponent of Obama on Cuba and Iran, and I just can't help but wonder if Obama, through the Justice Department, is going after him.
All right, stop right there, Matt. Now, you realize what you're saying, that the President of the United States, to quash a political opponent on two particular issues, has unleashed the Justice Department to destroy a man's professional career. Do you, Matt, really believe that?
More out of vindictiveness, because I've noticed that's how Obama is. I noticed he did it with...
So you believe him totally capable of doing that, of indicting someone
because
he's an enemy?
He controls the Justice Department through Eric Holder, and I wouldn't put it past him.
Well, that's different. Wouldn't put it past him is different than you think he did it.
No, I don't know. I think it's a strong possibility.
I can't get that. I having lived through, you can call me back, Matt, on your second point.
Sure.
On Indiana. But I lived through Nixon, and I remember in 1973. That was the time of Watergate and the enemies list, so called, and all the rest of it. And I was very feisty in my and my speaking against Nixon, I got audited by the IRS. And I said, Nixon did it. But I had no proof that Nixon did it.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Chris Montez, Call Me. The reason I'm playing it is this is, Noam, I'm sure you will agree, the preeminent local talk show here in New York. I am sometimes referred to as Mr. New York because I was born here, started here, been here almost a half a century in public life. And it is, to me, dismaying that the mayor of the city has been so either afraid or disrespectful that he has refused to come on this program. Now he's deep into his second year in City Hall, Mayor Bill de Blasio. So the Call Me is our message to the mayor that he should get on board and tell us how he stands on municipal issues like development, like crime, you know, all of these crucial issues, traffic to the New Yorkers who listen to this great show on 77 WABC. So we want Mayor Bill de Blasio. This is day one of our campaign to get Bill de Blasio to have the courage to call us. Now, why do I mention it? Because yesterday I was with, as you recall, Donald Trump, one of the preeminent developers and businessmen in this city. I mean, love him or hate him, you cannot deny that he has remade the face of the city. Look what he did to the entire West Side from 60th Street up to 72nd Street. He took a crappy, you know, refuse-strewn wreckage of a riverside and made it a brand new neighborhood. I mean, Trump did that. And here is what Trump said about his communications with Mayor Bill de Blasio. What's your relationship with de Blasio, Mayor de Blasio? I know you had a good relationship with Bloomberg. What's the relationship with the current mayor?
I don't know him. I don't know him. And it's, you know, he's out there doing his thing. And I hope he's going to be a great mayor. I mean, I want him to be a great mayor, but I really don't know him.
So do you want to get together? May I make a shidduck? I'll make a little meeting.
Well, are you friendly with him?
No, he doesn't talk to me either.
No.
I'm a Republican. He doesn't like Republicans.
I've never had the occasion, really, to meet him, but I really don't know him.
He's never had the occasion to meet the mayor. Can you imagine that? I can't for the life of me understand how. I think that he exists in a kind of a progressive left-wing bubble. I mean, I have no objection to his political ideology. A vast majority of New Yorkers embraced him and voted for him. But he has to reach out. I mean, he's got the greatness of Giuliani and Bloomberg has been their ability to bring all New Yorkers together for the betterment of the city, and for de Blasio to ignore, you know, anyone who happens to be. Is this because I got mad at him that he didn't plow the Upper East Side snowfall in his first week in office? I don't know why he did.
You know, you wonder if maybe he's a little bit more thin-skinned than his predecessors. Of course, you had Mayor Giuliani, who had his weekly show right here, 77 WABC, on Fridays. People could call in, ask him questions. They weren't always so nice. He handled that very well. Mayor Bloomberg did the exact same thing right here. And the thought was, with Mayor de Blasio, that he might go the way of some of the African-American radio stations and do the weekly call-in show that way. He could do it right here.
That would be great.
103.9, we have a station right here.
A beautiful station.
But he hasn't done that. And you wonder if he can't, maybe he just can't handle the heat from even just regular New Yorkers calling in to complain about the way he's running the city.
I have no idea. What are you thinking about, folks? We've been busy. Paul in Queens, our buddy, has been holding on a long time. Paul, what's on your mind?
Hey, Geraldo. Hang on a second, man. Well, before I go into the gay topic, I want to talk about the I mean, are you keeping up to date on how many kids and students are getting killed in Kenya right now at that college? It's 15, 60 hertz.
What is it, no? We've been following it. Al-Shabaab raiding the private college.
This is kind of important because you got Muslims killing Christians. And if we want to go talk about the gay topic, where is the gay community on the Muslims slavering the Boko Haram, who slaved 200 girls that's still sitting there, slaved, out, raped, and they kill their own, they kill gay people?
Okay, Paul, we get it. If you had a radio show, you'd be leading with that story. Now, what's your second point? That it? Okay. All right.
He doesn't have one.
Okay. You got it. Okay. Here's Joe in Long Island. What do you think about Joe?
Hey, good morning. I'm thinking about a lot of stuff, actually. You've got to convene another one of those conferences like you had a bunch of people. I need way more than a phone call to parry with you on a number of issues. But I called about two things, if I might. I do not believe in special rights for anyone except for children. I believe in civil rights for all. Okay. That being said, I'm retired New York City police lieutenant. And as such, I was a representative of government, the executive branch of government, City of New York. The Constitution, the amendments, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and all such documents are only government and government agents are bound by these. Private enterprises are not. If I decide not to serve you because I don't like your ethnicity, I don't like your religion, I don't like your bushy mustache, I may do that. The only recourse anybody has, unless you know, I'm partially funded by the government. If I'm a private business, I can discriminate against anyone I want and without interference from the government.
Unless you get sued.
Say again?
Unless you get sued by someone.
Well, they can sue all they want. That's a civil action. We're not. The government doesn't get involved, as in New York City police, I used to tell people, that's a civil matter. You have to take it to civil court. We're talking about civil rights.
Well, I think that it is also a crime in certain instances. I don't want to argue the nuances, but I'm glad. And first of all, thank you for your service. A lieutenant in the NYPD is a great achievement. What do you think about the cop? Here, I want to play the sound of that cop with the Uber driver yesterday.
You don't have to.
You already played here.
Pull over 5 feet. You understand me? Pull over. Now, let me tell you something. The next time you do it again, you're getting it. Okay, what? You're going to let me finish? Stop interrupting me. Well, who do you think you're talking to here?
So what do you think, Lieutenant?
Well, you know, this is not a cop-out. I wasn't there. However, from what I'm hearing, it sounds like the cop's not having a very good day. To paint with a broad brush his entire career and accomplishments because of one issue where he, you know, that was out of line. If he was on duty, it's definitely out of line. It definitely be a matter to go before the Civilian Complaint Review Board, no doubt. To strip up his gun and his badge and to take away a great detail that he was in, I think that's a little overboard. But again, I wasn't there. You know, I only know what you and I.
What do you think generally of the relationship between the cops and, you know, the people of the city right now? What do you think? I really love Bill Bratton around here, but I just
it looks like there's a lot of tension, and I do blame certain government officials for that. When I was there, my first assignment was in Williamsburg, and it was largely an Hispanic ghetto. And I got along great with them because they understood that I was there to help them. When I was assigned to a mostly black neighborhood, I didn't seem to be able sometimes to satisfy people that I was there to do just that, which is to serve them.
Was that their problem or your problem?
Well, I was the same cop in Williamsburg that I was in.
Good point. How are you enjoying retirement? Just curious.
I'd still rather be a cop, to be honest with you. I had a heart attack.
Why did you put the papers in?
I had a heart attack. I was physically...
Gee whiz. How are you doing?
I absolutely love that job.
How are you faring now?
I'm doing well. I mean, I might need bypass surgery soon, but I'm still on the green side of the grass.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned... there's a story from out of Atlanta. I don't know if you saw it. This kid got a heart transplant. A 17-year-old kid got a heart transplant. He's a gangbanger. He got a heart transplant, said he's going to change his life. Then he just got killed in a shootout with cops. I mean, it's just so sad. I don't know. People
sounds
got a
like
second
a
chance.
Of a heart.
Yeah, really. You'd think the heart would have changed his head, but it didn't. Hey, Lieutenant, again, thank you for your service. I appreciate it. I don't know how I got off on that, but, you know, my mind, the way it works. Here's Jim in Jersey. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Geraldo. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Okay. Listen, I'm very, very angry with you because you claim that Mayor Bill de Blasio does not call you.
Right.
But what you seem to realize is that he's been trying to call you for the past year and a half.
Oh, he has?
Well, he doesn't wake up till 10 after 12. So how's he going to reach you?
Good for you, Jim.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-Geraldo, 77 WABC.
Thanks for tuning us in today. 23 minutes after 11 o'clock, the big headline, and Indiana has now recognized that your sexual preference is a protected class. You're now a protected class, as if race, color, creed, religion, and now sexual preference, all protected under the, that is the effect of the amendment to the controversial law they tried to pass, the so-called Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The bottom line is Indiana has totally blinked and the law has been gutted. And now, you refuse to serve gay people at your peril. That's the big headline today. But we've been talking about all kinds of, important things today. We just had, a retired police lieutenant on. I asked him about the cop who went on that, road rage, incident. He gave me his response, but here's, David, what's on your mind, David?
Oh, hi, Geraldo. Thanks for taking my call. I had an incident several years ago. I was westbound on 78 out of Newark. It was night. I think it was my daughter's 10th birthday, actually the one who just got married.
And congratulations.
You congratulated me before with a very wonderful mazel tov.
All right, buddy.
Okay, so he was quite I saw the lights flash. I was trying to get home for a birthday. I worked in Newark at the time, was driving way back here into central New Jersey, and he was really upset. And I didn't know it was a police car. I mean, if I see a police car and I'm in a lane, I get over. But he was really upset, and he started questioning me about things that I had in the car, like my backpack, and he accused me of overeating because I said I had my lunchbox in there. He said, oh, you eat a lot, don't you? He was really nasty. And I realized he expected me to know he was a police officer.
Yeah,
and
road rage is a crazy thing. I mean, you think about how angry you get. And, David, I appreciate the call, and again, mazel. You know, I have seen myself. I mean, not that I act out, but I mean, cab cuts me over. I mean, the rage that you feel is so disproportionate to the offense. I mean, compared to like your regular life, how you react. I mean, road rage, I don't know what it is about being in that tin box, maybe, but you respond in a way, and I'm sure, Noam, you too have had experiences.
Yeah, sure.
Where you've, your head's about to blow up. I remember one time I was on the Palisades Parkway. And I had the old Bentley on cruise control. So I set it to, I think it's 55 on the Palisades, or maybe even 50 is the speed limit on the Palisades, which is crazy slow. So I set it on 60 or whatever it was. So on cruise control, I pull up behind someone who's going 52, and I go to pass them, and I'm only going whatever it is, 60. So my passing is very slow. So effectively, I've now blocked the Palisades interstate. As I'm passing this car,
right,
a guy pulls up behind me. He's really now he's right on my ass, and I got to watch out. I start talking to you. I forget I'm on the radio. But all right, so now he's right. He's tailgating me essentially. Right. So eventually, my 60 mile an hour controlled speed is enough. So I pass the car on the right, and I pull over. The guy who has been behind me pulls up behind me. He is crazy, furious at me. I swear to God, he pulls out a gun.
Come on.
He pulls out a gun and he's waving the gun.
Oh, man.
And so my impression was that it was a cop going home from his job. I couldn't imagine anyone else doing it. And he roared on at 80 miles an hour and he disappeared over the sunset. I never did anything about it. I've never even mentioned it until right now, but Erica was in the car. She can vouch for me. And it was just like crazy. I mean, wow. How nuts can you be to imperil your whole life? I mean, imagine if I called and got his license tag and all the rest of it, and to do something like that. But it is, my point is, when I saw that cop responding the way, I said, thank God that wasn't me. Thank God that wasn't me going over. And thank God the cop didn't say anything about the ethnic origin of the Uber driver. That was his next sentence.
Right.
I mean, that he like bit his tongue. He came, how long you been in the country is like the polite way.
It's almost
saying,
the same way.
It's almost the same.
Yeah.
It's almost the same. But he could have used the pejorative. You know, I talked about it on Hannity's show last night, on Sean Hannity's show last night on TV. And, you know, he came within a hair's breadth of getting himself in real, real trouble. Okay, so here's Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth, for calling. How are you?
Great, Geraldo. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for calling.
So I have to tell tell you, you're completely wrong on this.
Oh, good.
I am a New Yorker, and I think everybody should, you know, just let live. But you're talking about private businesses. When you're citing the examples of things in the South, those are government services. And it's horrendous. You know, of course, black people in the back of
wait,
the
bus. Wait, Elizabeth, are you using a hands-free device to talk to me?
I am.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Otherwise, no, I was going to tell you to pull over. But, you know, it's not me. I'm just saying that the law now will be what happened in Indiana will be reflected all across the country. The ship has sailed. Gay rights are now recognized in the same way that or soon will be if they haven't admitted it yet as race, color, creed and religion. It's just as a new constitutional right, like it or not. And it doesn't matter if you have a private business and strongly held religious beliefs. If you are in business and a business is open to the public, you're going to have to serve gay people in their weddings, whether you like it or not. And it doesn't matter what you or I think about, Elizabeth. It's just going to be the law.
Let me ask you, Geraldo.
Ask me.
A doctor has a private business. It's against his religious belief to perform an abortion. You're now saying, well, sir, your religious belief is not as important as somebody else's.
No, but if the doctor performs pregnancy terminations on straight people, then he has to perform it on gay people also. That's what the law says. I mean, it can't force him to do a procedure he doesn't do. But if you sell wedding cakes, you got to sell them to everybody. Elizabeth, I'm going to let you go, sweetheart, and drive carefully. And I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Here's Morgan in Staten Island. What are you thinking about, Morgan?
Hey, I wanted to talk about the NYPD incident.
Sure.
Basically, I hear a lot of talk about retraining the rank and file and retraining the rank and file. Before I moved here to New York, I was in the military for 12 years. I started in 2000, and I saw leadership evolve over those 12 years. My leaders, in the way that they led, couldn't lead the same way I had to.
You know, Morgan, times change. I got to let you go. The music indicates.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
Coming to your calls momentarily, 37 minutes after 11 o'clock. Bob Menendez is expected to make an appearance, a mandatory appearance at the federal court in Newark, where he will be surrendering. Everyone's got a live stakeout outside the courthouse there. The 8-count, 68-page indictment, 15 years behind bars, the potential penalty. As I've been predicting all morning, I believe he'll fight the good fight. Abby Lowell, his lawyer, as we had Alan Dershowitz and Arthur Idala on earlier, both singing the praises of Abby Lowell, the attorney that Menendez has retained. But I really believe that this indictment is so profoundly punitive that Menendez will have no choice ultimately but to make a deal with the feds to avoid jail time or if that is even possible, get at least the cut the best possible deal he can. But I predict there will be a special election for senator for the soon to be, not soon, maybe 8 months, 10 months, maybe 12 months, vacant Senate seat from the Garden State. I think that Menendez is doomed. He claims that it has something to do with his political stance, and commentators have inferred that what he's talking about is his opposition, Senator Menendez's opposition to the Obama administration opening up ties to Cuba. The senator's family hails from Cuba. He's old school in the sense that he believes that the government in Cuba is so unrepentant and irreconcilable with the modern world. He opposes any loosening of the embargo and so forth, which I think is a relic of the Cold War and should be abolished. The other point the senator alludes to is his stance against giving Iran the benefit of the doubt when it comes to these nuclear talks. As Noam reported in his newscast, there is an announcement that is due on these Iranian nuclear talks imminently. If it happens before high noon, we certainly will bring that to you. We're watching, and the options are, it's either an extension, another extension of the talks. I think that's unlikely. A breakthrough in the talks, I would say that 50-50 on that one, or a breakdown in the talks. I think that that is those three options. If they happen again in the next 20 minutes, we'll bring them to you. Here's Don in New York. What are you thinking about, Don? Thanks for calling 866-Geraldo.
Hey, Geraldo, it's John.
Okay, man, you're on. What's up?
First of all, I want to tell you your mother's beautiful. I saw the picture you posted of her in Florida.
Ah, so nice. Thank you.
Very nice.
95 years old, Grandma Lil. You know, she's doing much, much better. Thank God, and I appreciate feelings like yours,
good
man.
Team,
so what's up?
Geraldo. But let me pose a question to you. Do you really think this has helped the gay cause in America?
You know, that's an excellent question. And here's why it's an excellent question.
And before because you I think that, let me just add something, okay? On two occasions, Ferguson, and on this issue now, the national media has been hijacked by activists, very small amount, that have capsulized the story and distorted the facts and shoved something down the American public's face that is not reality, Geraldo.
Okay, I agree with everything you said, however harsh your characterization, but let me just say this, and thanks for calling. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that a small minority has hijacked the media or frightened the Chamber of Commerce or in some other way, wrongfully or, however much you may object to the success of their activism. It doesn't matter because it is done. It is a fait accompli. Nobody could withstand the kind of pressure being brought to bear by the gay civil rights movement. The time has come where you have to recognize them. Ken, our news guy, has just given us, Noam, you see this? Why don't you report this?
Yeah, so just in. Federal authorities have arrested two women who were allegedly planning to detonate a bomb in the New York City area. We don't know exactly what that means, where in the New York City area, after being radicalized by ISIS. This is all according to ABC News. Authorities say the public never in any danger. It was all part of a lengthy undercover FBI operation. The women allegedly looking to build an improvised explosive device, but it's unclear how far along this plan had been reached. If it's like previous cases, probably not even close. Usually these arrests come early. The women in their 20s and 30s arrested today here in New York, and authorities are convinced ISIS propaganda and their alleged online activities contributed to their ultimate shift towards violence.
This is a huge story. And it doesn't really matter how competent they were. If you have access to the internet and you have half a brain, you can put together and access to some of these materials, and they get gunpowder from fireworks, etc. You can make a meaningful weapon. I mean, it's not like nailing a 2x4 together for your shed in the backyard, but it's not rocket science either. So the fact of the matter is, this is a big story. Two women radicalized by ISIS, allegedly planning to detonate a bomb in New York, have been arrested by federal authorities. This is tomorrow's headline. I guarantee you this is going to be a huge story. Bill O'Reilly is coming up. I'll ask him about this news of the apparent radicalization of the two Americans. Who are these women? Noam and our news team here will attempt to ferret out some more of the facts.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues, Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Killing Jesus, the biggest movie ever on the Net Geo channel. It's going to air on my Fox News channel over the weekend. They're repeating it Friday and I think on Sunday. The author of the book that it was based on, Killing Jesus, was based on, Bill O'Reilly, my friend and colleague from Fox News, joins us right now. Hey, man, what's up?
It's the usual chaos, Geraldo,
Were you surprised by the huge? You're not surprised because you told me this one was going to be big.
Yeah, we were real pleased with the initial viewing, particularly because we were up against the zombies finale, where I guess they had breakfast on a few other human beings.
But, true.
you know, we did very well, and the DVR was extraordinary.
Why do you think is the, I mean, obviously, there's a tremendous interest, and this is the Passover Easter time of the year, but still, this is extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there is a war, civil war in this country now between anti-religious people and traditional faith-based Americans. And I think that's driving a lot of interest in Jesus. But this movie, as you know, was much different. It's not a religious film, like Mark Burnett's upcoming series is religious. This is not. This is history, and this is what happened to him, and with a heavy component on how Jesus was a revolutionary and how he was deeply affected by the suffering of his people, and that he went up against the Romans and the temple authorities and paid for it with his life. So I think the drama inherent in that and the way we depicted it was so different that that's why people sought it out.
Bill O'Reilly is our guest here on 77 WABC. You mentioned the Civil War going on. You also have been following the news out of Indiana, Bill, and see how Indiana, like Arkansas, and I believe every state in the nation will follow suit, has dropped the offending provisions in its proposed Religious Freedom Protection Act, so-called, and now gays are being recognized as a civil right equal with race, color, creed, and religion. Do you think that this was forced down the throats of the people of Indiana and, by extension, the people of the country, or do you think the time has come to recognize that gay folks have the same rights as everybody else?
Well, I think they have more rights than everybody else now. And I said that to John Stossel the other night, that, look, with the numbers being overwhelmingly heterosexual in a country of 325 million, if you're a gay person, particularly a child or a teenager, you're going to get it. And I think everybody, every fair-minded person is going to admit that. You're going to get it. All right, you're going to get bullied and teased and mocked and all of that. And that formulates the defensive posture that many homosexuals have, that, look, why should my life be this way when I'm not doing anything wrong? I was born this way, and I have a right to pursue happiness on the same lines as everybody else. And that is a overwhelmingly powerful argument that everybody should keep in mind.
And so it's more powerful than the baker who is a very religious person who says, I can't bake this cake because of my religion.
No, it isn't more powerful than that because the two are not compatible. So every American should sympathize with the need to protect gay Americans from violence and from bullying. Every American should be on that side. However, if you are a person of conscience and you believe that a gay wedding ceremony is against your faith, you should not be compelled to participate in that ceremony in any way because it's not exclusive. So if a baker or a photographer or a florist says, listen, I just don't want to participate in that ceremony, then that should be respected because there are plenty of other people who will. It's not like the ceremony will not go on with the same kind of quality of what they need.
But as I read this new amendment to the Indiana law, that baker, that florist, that photographer will be forced at the risk of a lawsuit to participate, whether he or she likes it or not.
That's what the whole thing's about, that you can bring your case to a civil court, but the right to being a conscientious objector, just as it is in war, has to be upheld by the court.
I don't think it will be, and I think that therein will lie the rub. But I don't want to.
I think you're wrong in Indiana. Now, if you were in Massachusetts, you might be right.
I think that the country,
by jurisdiction,
I think the ship has sailed. You got to get over it. You're going to have to serve those folks. But I mean, that's just me. I just believe that just strictly as a lawyer.
It's your opinion that they should.
No, I'm not saying they should. I'm saying that they will be forced.
It's not backed up by any constitutionality at all.
Well, we'll see what the Supreme Court rules in that regard. But I don't want to waste all our time on this issue.
Okay.
It's a circular debate. Killing Jesus airs this weekend. Friday night, it's going to preempt your show, right?
Yes.
Oh, it gives you a day off, too, for the holy weekend.
And we're hoping that non-religious people and non-Christians watch it. And here's why. How does a carpenter who has no money and whose family is just as ordinary a family as you could possibly imagine, has to live communally because they can't afford their own home, how does a carpenter become the most famous person who's ever lived? How does that happen? Now, that's the central reason I wrote the book, Killing Jesus, to explain how it happened. And yet everybody with any sense of curiosity should want to know how it happened. And that's what you'll get. You're not going to get a heavy dose of anything there other than history.
A terrific movie, well-written, and the acting.
Isn't it great?
Absolutely. It doesn't jam anything down your throat. It's a great yarn, a great story,
right.
And it is so significant. You hear the news, the feds just arrested two women allegedly planning to detonate a bomb in New York, radicalized by ISIS, just happening, just getting the bulletin
now. Yeah, I heard it. You know, it's the usual crazy people running around, right?
So is this our future? Is this the danger that we really will have to deal with?
Yes, of course it is. And there's really no solution to that, but it's like random crime. It's like serial killers. It's like Ted Bundy. You're always going to have them. And now they have an excuse that they're in part of the jihad. So it's always going to be here, and that's just the fact of the world.
So what do you, and I got you all over the place, they're making an announcement also, and we're monitoring it out of Switzerland. They're either going to say that the talks on the Iran nukes have succeeded, they failed, or they're going to be extended. Both Kerry, I notice, according to the Fox Urgen, and Zarif, the Iranian foreign minister, are scheduled to speak any minute now. You want to make a prediction?
I think they'll come to some kind of, look, we're going to continue our discussions to June. I think that's what they'll do.
So you think it's just an extension of the talks? It's not a breakthrough?
No, because all they were trying to do was get a framework to continue the discussions anyway. So even pinheads can do that. I mean, come on, how hard is that?
So is Obama a pinhead?
No, I just think he's not a good president. I think he'll go down in history as in the bottom 10. And I can back that up because I had Barney Frank on The Factor the other day. And I said, what's his main domestic achievement? And Frank couldn't really name one.
The economy.
No, but that, you know, the wages for working Americans are way below what they were when he took over. So that's the litmus test on the economy. You can create jobs that don't pay any money. But the working American is making almost $3,000 less after 6.5 years of President Obama than they were under Bush in the terrible recession.
How did a mediocre student from Levittown do as well as you have?
Persistence and authenticity. I think that's what it is. I just, you know, I've had setbacks in my career. We all have.
We all have.
But I never gave up.
Never gave up. Bill O'Reilly never gives up. Pleasure to work with him. Thanks for coming on, mate.
All right, Arlo. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.
Love you, folks. Thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow right here on 77 WABC.